Well, also, black bow ties photograph better. I should know, I once hooked up with 3 different GQ Men of the Year at the GQ Men of the Year party.
Hello, Schitt's Creek fans. Welcome to another episode of Schitt's and Giggles. We're a Schitt's Creek podcast where we watch a different pod, in case you didn't know what you're listening to.
In case you were confused.
Where every other week we watch a different episode of Schitt's Creek and we talk about it. We're going through everything in chronological order. That's not normally the way I phrase this, but I feel like I'm thrown off because we are in our third studio?
It is not. Calling this a studio, anything that we record in a studio is not even accurate. It makes it sound like we have a really sweet setup.
Shh, don't tell anyone.
The only reason it's sweet is because it's a little girl's room.
It may be the sweetest of our studios.
Yeah.
So people may know that there were some buzzing issues, some like audio issues with the past 5, maybe 6 episodes.
I don't understand why it's happening all of a sudden. We've recorded in that studio space for quite a while.
Yes, but I did so many tests. I sat alone in our closet for a very long time, changing dials on the microphone.
Did you enjoy the peace and quiet?
Well, you guys were gone.
Yeah. So it would have been peace and quiet regardless.
Yes, right. Okay. It would have been a better use of my time to not sit in there. And I thought it was the overhead light. I don't know. Our closet just buzzes. And so
all of a sudden now.
Right. Yeah. Over the past 2 to 3 months. So now we're sitting in our youngest daughter's bedroom.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not
there's
echoey.
Like enormous stuffed animals. And
yeah. It's kind of
squishmallows. Squishmallows.
Yeah. I will have to take a picture and put it up for people. Because we took a picture of our closet studio.
Yeah.
And I think we had a picture of our original setup just
in the basement.
A card table in the middle of the basement.
Well, it's still a card table. So.
But we have a nice pink blanket on it.
That belongs to our kid.
To absorb the sound, right.
So that it doesn't buzz.
Anyway.
I can't wait to hear what noise this room makes. Maybe our house is haunted and we just don't know it.
Maybe. We are close to a window now, so we might hear cars.
Outside noise.
Yeah, definitely if a motorcycle goes by, we will hear that.
Which I think is happening right now.
It happened earlier.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's more than one motorcycle in the world. All right. Anyway.
So chronologically, that's where we stopped. Ooh, yeah.
This is where we are, and this is what we're doing. My hope is that this will be our final studio, that we will not have to move anywhere
else. We should
just
start on the front porch. We could have guest stars outside, stop by. Our neighbors could come over and contribute their thoughts.
Sure.
It would be great.
You know what? If you've been listening to us this long, you're probably totally fine if random neighbors stop on. Because this isn't professional, what we're doing. Even though we're trying.
We know that. Yeah. All we never claim to be professionals, ever. Or really even know what we're talking about.
No, I think we've made it very clear on numerous occasions that we're not professionals.
Right.
If you made it this far and you thought we were professional, and now you're suddenly like, whoa, 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 wait, what? Unsubscribe.
If you thought we had like a whole studio space and like,
you're like, I know they only have like 10 episodes left, but I am done with this podcast now. These two amateurs. Yeah. So we're here talking about the 4th episode of season 6. Oh, wait. Is it Maid of Honor or The Maid of Honor?
I just wrote Maid of Honor.
Already.
We're showing our lack of professionalism.
All right. I'm going to say Maid of Honor.
That's all I had written.
The original air date was January 28th of 2020. Mm. Directed by Andrew Cividino. This is his 2nd of 7 episodes he will direct this season. And Carla, new writer, Kurt.
We need like music. Like new writer music.
Do, 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 do.
Oh, that was.
Should I edit
that
in music?
Again showed our professionalism.
Right. Should I edit in that air horn sound that people use all the time?
Oh.
It is Kurt Smeaton.
Oh.
This is his first writing credit of this series. As I said, he will write one more episode this season, and that is it for him.
Okay.
He has quite a few writing credits before this show, and a few things that we've, you know, touched on before. He's done some episodes of Kim's Convenience, stuff like that. But I think maybe now the most interesting thing is something he's currently writing on, or currently working on, because he is the creator and writer of a comedy series called Children Ruin Everything.
Oh.
Which, except for our recording studio, we need kids for that, which stars Megan Rath, a.k.a. Claire.
Oh, fun.
So it's a current season. I get on Instagram, I constantly get ads for this show. So
That's
it.
You apparently follow a lot of pages, or not pages,
well, it's
people.
It's our Schitt's Creek thing. So, course, I'm following her.
Gotcha.
And now I might be following this guy. I'm not even sure. I just follow people from the show.
Oh, of course.
And we'll see where that goes. All right. So let's get into this episode that is about Maid of Honor. And we start with the
squatters.
We're
all over the place.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
Yes.
All right. So
it's just a relaxing morning at the motel. I love that Moira's in her cute little jammies with her vest.
There is something
she's
nice about.
She's just drinking some coffee.
Just
Johnny's
kind of
like
watching them like start their regular day. The kids are just in their room doing their thing, and the parents are in their room just getting ready for the day. I guess Johnny's getting ready for this big adventure.
I guess. He's already all like dressed and ready to roll. In a suit.
Well, if we didn't see him dressed as not Bob Cratchit, but the other one.
The other one.
You know, when he wore his nightshirt with his little nightcap.
Right.
Who is he dressed as? Not Bob Cratchit, because he's supposed to say hi to Bob Cratchit. Ebenezer Scrooge. Thank you.
Okay.
So much. But if we never saw him like that, I would assume he sleeps in these suits and
just
wakes up, just
there,
gets out of bed, and then he's all dressed for the day.
Yeah.
So Alexis is very excited.
Yes.
Bursts into the parents' room to let Moira know that the Crows trailer is up online.
Yes.
And this is a really fun. I hate it when most of my familiarity with this show is now just memes and GIFs that I see. Mm-hmm. But the hand holding where she's sitting in the chair and her arms are up and she's holding their hands getting ready for this is so much fun.
Yeah.
Also, to create the environment, they have to close the curtains, but then it's too dark.
Yes. I forget. What did she reference? It's like obsidian. Obsidian?
Oh, right.
Here,
yes.
I think she said.
It's just too dark to really see anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But,
well, and it's a dark movie, so we would think the trailer would be equally as dark. All those crows and such.
I tried to watch that new Hellraiser thing. I can't watch that during the day. The movie's just black.
Yeah.
And I can't see anything. So that's it.
That's all.
Hulu
Back to Schitt's
Creek. All right. So the problem is the buffering of this. Again, the family and technology.
It also begins with the mortgage ad.
Oh, yes.
You know, it starts with an ad, of course, that they're just trying to like skip through or fast forward through.
How unfamiliar Moira is with any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, just the fact that she wouldn't expect to see ads in some sort of trailer that you're watching online once again points to the fact that they just don't do much online at all.
Or at least she doesn't.
No, she doesn't. Right.
Do,
no, the kids are fully aware of what's happening. Like, you have to sit through this ad. It keeps freezing because of buffering issues.
She's older.
Sure.
Or younger and, you know.
Oh, no.
They're going to be way more in tune to technology.
No, I totally get it.
But you would think
it.
She would be, seeing as how she's an actress. You know?
Yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I
she mean, had people to do that for her before.
She had people to do that for her. Right. Plus, you know, her stuff was mainly seen on TV. You don't have to wait for, you know, your local channel to buffer or anything that. But that's the big issue, and that sort of causes all of them to say, oh, just, you know what, call us back when this thing's up.
Holler when it's ready. Because, they restarted it. Then the mortgage ad started again.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
So now we cut to our title card, and when we come back, we're in the kids' room, and Alexis has stumbled upon David's, what is it, wedding dream book?
Wedding dream book.
Okay.
Yeah. It was under his pillow.
Okay. So it's not like she really had to dig around to find
it. I think there was a reference. He's been
looking at his wedding dream book.
I guess, yeah. Well, she said you basically have manifested your wedding that you wanted. That was your dream wedding. She was stunned by that. With the exception of J.C. Chazet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And Jenna
Elfman.
Yeah.
Huh. Mm. You think he was a big fan of, what was that show?
Dharma and Greg. Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
Did you ever know anyone that did this? And I only bring it up because...
Did a wedding dream book?
Yes.
Well, I've only ever seen it on TV because on the show Friends, Monica also had like a wedding binder that was like from her childhood.
Oh,
where
okay.
Where she like had things of like bands she wanted and everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know that I have ever met or encountered anyone that had a book like in childhood and held on to it.
I grew up, my neighbor.
Oh, I was just going to say, wait a minute. I bet I know who you know that may have had a wedding, childhood wedding dream book.
It wasn't a wedding dream book. It was like a home dream book.
Oh.
It was like the home she wanted when she... And she would just cut things out of magazines.
Did she end up working for a home building company then?
She did, yeah. Right? She worked for a home building company.
So she really fulfilled
her dream. She worked for a furniture company for a while.
Right,
like she would just cut like jacuzzis out of magazines and stick them in this binder that she had. Yeah. So...
It's so weird. As soon as you started to say that, I instantly knew who you were referring
to. Okay, so...
Yeah.
And Alexis... We started this season with her being kind of self-centered, very selfish about her travel plans, and then they fell through, and then she was really upset about that. She has, like, made a complete 180 at this point.
Because, well, the wedding gives her a distraction and something to be involved in and something to do, but she now kind of starts to realize that she's not really as involved as she thought she was.
But she's ready to be involved. She can't stop talking about her maid of honor duties at this point. Like,
she's
David,
talking about the
where are you going?
And,
Patrick's being fitted for a suit. Great, when are we going?
Great, I'll come. I'm the maid of honor.
Maid of honor, this is something I really need to be involved in.
Right.
Because Patrick shows up also at this point.
Yes.
And
David, they kind of have to, because she starts making references to herself as the maid of honor, to which Patrick is kind of like, what's going on?
Right.
And then David kind of has to break the news to her that since she was not supposed to be there, they have asked someone else.
To which Alexis says, Ronnie?
Right.
Which is really great. I love the fact that both David and Patrick laugh
because
and David's
she
like,
doesn't like them.
Yeah, David's like, oh, she hates him.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
She absolutely hates Patrick.
Right.
But of course, like, who is maid of honor is, of course, Stevie.
Stevie Nicks, you mean.
Right, Stevie Nicks, because Alexis cannot fathom, I guess, Stevie, David's BFF for the past how many years?
However many years they've
being
been there.
In this wedding.
Right.
I know it's all played for jokes and laughs, but it's weird that this seems so strange to her.
Right.
But she's kind of okay with it because she believes that she can not talk Stevie out of it,
but
take it off of Stevie's plate.
Right. Like, she doesn't really want to do this. This is not her jam.
Stevie's got a whole new job, spoiler.
I know. Yeah.
I really thought, and I think I saw this episode originally.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know there's another couple coming up that I hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I didn't remember the fact that she actually took this job. Like, I really thought that job interview was just a one-off episode and just fun. Get them to do other things.
Mm-hmm.
Get Stevie to excel at something
but
more than David. And
Larry
then she's back.
Just disappeared.
Yes. I was very surprised that she...
Yeah.
First of all, I gotta say, some stuff about this episode I don't like. Two great things about this episode. One is, I know we say Alexis looks great all the time.
Mm-hmm.
This red dress and the gigantic hoop earrings is just sometimes if I picture Alexis, that's what I picture her wearing.
Yeah, I was not as in love with this. Oh, no? Okay. I normally really take notice of certain things. I wasn't as into her look in this episode.
All right. And the other thing is...
Not that she looked bad, because she never looks bad. There was nothing wrong with it. It didn't speak to me as much as... I think I like her when, her hair's down and done and... Yeah, it didn't speak to me as much.
And I guess to me, the red, it just is...
It's a bold
coming
color.
Off of everything else around her.
Yeah.
Especially when they're in the...
The tuxedo shop.
Yeah.
I wrote down the name of
it. Yeah, everything's so dark in there. And the other thing I was going to say...
Tuxedo Tailors, I think it was called.
And the other thing I was going to say is I never thought I wanted to see Stevie dress as a flight attendant, but it's really great.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah.
All right, so, yeah. She's going to handle this for Stevie. No big deal.
Right.
Even though they have to pick her up from work.
Mm-hmm. To take her along.
To take her along.
Yeah.
So off they go. Mm-hmm. So now we get to, at the end of last episode, remember, Roland and Jocelyn. Or wait, maybe it was two episodes ago. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I think it was last episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, also, correction for last episode. A listener let us know. Since we're taking notes, we don't look at the show sometimes. Bob totally jogged over in leather pants.
Oh, we really missed
that. We just missed it. Yes.
Yeah. No, I spend most of my time writing. And now that I can't see, I need my...
Now that I can't see.
Well... No, I can't see to write my notes, so I need reading glasses. But then when I look at the screen's fuzzy. So I have to either constantly move them or just look at my notes or just look at the screen. And yeah.
Guys, it's a good thing we're in the last episode of this series.
I know. I don't know how much longer I would be able to go. Yeah.
So, all right. So
clearly
now,
my eyes are failing me at this point in my life.
So now I guess... Roland and Johnny are just taking a tour.
Yeah, they're at their new
random
motel.
Room.
Yeah, they're just checking things out. Well, I mean, I guess Roland and Jocelyn kind of bought this sight unseen. I mean, I don't know how much of a tour they got
of
the
first
motel.
Of all,
They went to a funeral that was in the office area.
Yes, but I'm not going to fault them for this because Johnny was ready to buy it sight unseen. Like, they were ready to make that deal in the parking lot during a funeral.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that's a huge issue. But, of course, you have to go and you have to take a look at this
place.
Right.
You don't know what you're dealing with, in the rooms and stuff. But they were pleasantly surprised.
Yes.
When they got in, they felt like everything, the motel kind of had, good bones. And everything looked good. And the room was pretty nice. I mean, it looked like it had, a little couch and almost, like, a sitting area.
It looked like...
Motel.
Yeah, it looks like your run-of-the-mill motel.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're coming from...
Most motels, though, don't have a couch in them and stuff.
No, I guess
right?
not.
Right? Usually they have beds, and that's pretty much it. Beds and a TV.
Yeah, you're right. There is,
a little sitting area almost.
But this might be some sort of,
a fancier...
fancy
we
suite.
We see a fancier suite down
we
the
will.
Line.
We will, yes.
Right, and this is...
All right, let's call this a mid-range room.
Maybe.
So they're looking around in this room and everything looks good, but they see that it's currently being used
occupied
or lived in.
But the occupant is gone at the moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
They find what first they think is a tip for the maid, but it turns out just to be a bag of money with a gun in it.
But then, then there's kind of garbage strewn about and stuff. There's a loaded gun. There's a coffee cup
there's
and a newspaper.
There is so much going on here.
Yeah.
It's weird when they walk in, they're like, this place looks great. Because immediately they're like, oh wait, there's also garbage everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but then they think maybe there's just a squatter that's using the room. The coffee's still hot.
Yeah.
And everything. So they realize someone has, it's not like this was left over from a past occupant.
Plus we see there's a couple cars in the parking lot too.
Yeah.
They're not the only cars here.
I noticed that too.
And when the guy drives in, it's not like his car was already there. There's just other cars here.
Yeah.
Doesn't really explain that. But Johnny wants to go to the cops immediately. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing he says is, we got to call the police. And then... Roland is the one that kind of talks him out of this. Let's actually see what's going on
here. Let's stake the place out.
Right.
and see what happens.
Yeah.
See.
Detective Roland.
Right. Yeah.
So while all of this is happening, Moira is, I'm assuming, running all over town and showing this trailer to anyone who will take the time to watch, because she's now at Jazzagal's rehearsal.
Right, at the town hall. And again, this episode, I feel like we jumped to a lot of different places.
Sure.
And I don't know if it's like last season, we're trying to like make sure we get all of your favorite locations into as many episodes as possible, because we've talked about how we are just constantly in many different locations.
Right. But it's not even getting your favorite locations in. It's saying, let's go to this different motel. Let's go to Larry Air. Like,
right.
It's a, let's go to this tuxedo shop.
But we haven't been to Jazzagal's in maybe a little while.
When was the last time we were at the store, the apothecary? I couldn't tell you where we were there last.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's been a while because we had a whole episode where there was no Patrick at all.
Uh-huh.
So we certainly weren't there then.
Right.
I don't think, sadly, we're never going to go back to the vets again. I feel bad about that. We didn't do like a in memoriam on the vets when we were there for the last time.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's at Jazzagal's rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
And she has shown them this.
They're watching the trailer.
Three times?
Yep.
The third time.
Yep.
Or maybe she's about to start the third time.
I think
I'm not
this
sure.
is the third time. And then she's saying, like, maybe we need another watch.
Right. And they are all, except for one of them,
really
in awe and honest amazement of this, which
is... The trailer looks... I mean, it looks pretty good, I guess.
Well...
you know.
I do...
I feel like, except for the parts where there's people in it... It looks pretty good.
Are you saying like the stock footage of crows and everything that I guess they purchased looks really good? I'm not saying it looks bad, but I think that Jocelyn's reaction when she says, based on how you describe this, it looks better than I thought, is right on point with how I would look at this.
Yeah, she said, I like how she said it. Looks like a real movie.
Yes,
neat.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
I like how Twyla talks about the possibility of an Oscar.
Yeah.
Twyla's really the one who's totally into this, more so than everybody
definitely.
Else. Yeah.
But that makes sense. Like, Twyla's always, like, positive and uplifting and happy for everyone else, and that's pretty much her... You know, like, that's just
she
how she
always is.
She
allows everyone to walk all over her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked Moira's feather hat,
shall
we say.
She has
like
to dress the part. I mean, you know.
It was fun. I liked that.
If she transformed into a crow by the end of this season, I wouldn't be all that shocked.
Yeah.
It's noticeable that Jocelyn either isn't into the trailer or just kind of wants to get rehearsal going, honestly. Like, this has taken up a good amount of their time.
Yeah.
Who knows how many ads they had to watch and how long this had to buffer.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely.
I do like how Moira and Twyla have a quick conversation about how nice the birds were.
Yes. Yeah. And Twyla's weird thing about... What did she say?
It's a parrot. Someone. I don't know if it was her uncle or... stepfather or somebody had a parrot who would always tell her to take her bra off.
Yeah, it was really weird.
It's very weird, but I mean very Twyla.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So they pick Stevie up.
Yep.
I guess outside of the Larry Air hangar. I have no idea.
She runs out in her little, as David kind of references, Pan Am.
I mean.
Pan Am was canceled.
Right.
But she's
after
in like
one season,
a full-on like Barbie... flight attendant outfit with the little pillbox hat. And
do you remember those Pan Am commercials?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they really hyped that show up as though it was going to be something.
Yeah, and it's 100% like what she was dressed as, you know.
And it appears that she's fleeing her job.
Oh,
like,
totally.
She
is
it's like
all out
she
running.
Robbed Larry Air and needs to get to this getaway car.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
And she's very, very disappointed with the fact that she is a flight attendant, the job that she applied for.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
she's
given no
training. I don't know if she's
disappointed.
I think she's panicked that she's going to have to be on a real flight.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was Patrick that's like, haven't you only been there a week?
Not even a week,
yeah,
she says.
Yeah, is that what she said? Yeah.
Yeah.
And, and she was saying, like, I can't do that. How are they going to trust me to keep people alive, basically, on a flight and look over, you know, keep track of people's safety? She mentioned that they don't fly to a lot of places. Sorry. yawning.
I know. I was going to say, well, you just let that go.
I was
trying
to keep going. They'd only fly to Hoboken, Windsor, and South Dakota.
Right.
Yeah. Because
Patrick says, like, well, at least you'll get to see the world.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, nope, there are three places, and they're all pretty depressing.
Yeah.
And
there's also 18 ongoing lawsuits, yes. One of which is from Larry Ayer himself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do like how Patrick says, I've heard San Diego's really beautiful. Not San Diego, sorry, South Dakota mm-hmm. is really beautiful. Very strange. This seems like a company that is not going to last another month or so. So maybe getting out is the best thing she could do.
And that's kind of what she's saying. She's like, I'm really just looking forward to my wedding duties. It's the only job that I can't mess up right now. Like,
right.
She's just kind of really kind of down on herself.
And you can visibly see that Alexis really doesn't know what to do with this information now. Because she was very ready to just swoop in and say,
take everything.
I'll handle this for you.
Right.
Listen, your Larry Ayer duties are plenty right now.
Uh-huh.
But no, Stevie's on board for this.
Yeah.
So now let's go back to that new motel parking lot.
Uh-huh.
And Roland and Johnny really are on a stakeout. Roland's bought snacks.
Yep.
And sodas.
Yeah, 99% real drink.
Yep.
Can't argue with that kind of math.
I do love
it. Yeah, because they're talking about, like, the vending machine, right?
Yes.
Is this where the guy comes back? My notes are really weird here. I didn't, like, write down that we switched
to a
different place.
Yeah, this guy comes back. Yeah.
He comes back, and then he goes to purchase things from the vending machine.
Right.
Like,
Yeah, this guy... They see a car come in. This guy gets out, and he's, like, wearing a trench coat. He looks shady,
mm-hmm.
and they think, all right, he's going to grab his bag of money and his gun and leave.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he's getting snacks and really settling into this room.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when they're really not sure what to do at this point.
Right.
Now, we go to Roland's house.
Yes.
Well, Jocelyn's house.
Yes. Jocelyn and Roland.
Yes.
Yep. Jocelyn is there, because obviously Roland's on a stakeout.
Right.
With the baby.
And look, she's still a teacher.
She is still a teacher. I noticed that, too. She was grading book reports.
Yes.
And feeding the baby. The baby was in a little high chair.
Right.
And Moira comes in, basically to confront her about the fact that she hates the Crow's
really
trailer
like,
and movie.
This is really bothering Moira. The mm-hmm. fact that one person... Jocelyn,
mm-hmm.
who Moira has been very mean to in the past.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, they were on the ballot for town council against each other. She's very upset that Jocelyn doesn't
is
like
not gushing over
the
this
trailer for this movie.
Yeah.
It's really strange. There are references to John Carter, which is a movie mm-hmm. that was like a huge flop.
Yeah.
References to the Love Guru. And, I mean, basically, Jocelyn just tries to say, like, I don't like horror movies. That's
right.
why I don't like this. Just pass it off as
that. Yeah, an ex-boyfriend took her to see... What movie did she say? I forgot.
Oh, I don't know.
A horror movie?
I don't know.
Oh. No, yeah. I don't remember what it was.
Sorry. I think it was something like a Halloween movie or something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember. Michael Myers.
Michael Myers. Right. That's why The Love Guru is brought up.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Took her to see a Michael Myers movie, and that's when Moira goes, oh, The Love Guru.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know he was even in that, or whoever plays him was in that. I don't know anything about horror
Michael
movies.
Michael Myers.
Uh-huh.
Saturday Night Live's Wayne's World's Michael Myers was in a really terrible movie called The Love Guru.
Okay.
So Jocelyn's referring to Halloween. And, yes.
Michael Myers.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't get that.
That's okay.
Yeah. So she tries to explain to her that she just doesn't like horror movies.
But, and...
I don't, yeah.
And this kind of, like, I don't want to say Moira's now okay with this, but I guess it satisfies Moira to a certain...
Yeah, but she says, an actor is only as happy as their unhappiest audience member. So she still is like,
this is a strange interaction, because then Moira leaves and we just kind of like hang on Jocelyn as it's kind of like, that was just an excuse. Like, I don't like the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now let's go to this tuxedo shop,
mm-hmm.
as I guess we're referring to it, tuxedo store.
It was called the Tuxedo Tailors. They showed it from the outside later.
Very fancy.
Yeah. Doesn't look that fancy inside, but...
No, well, fine. I don't know. It looks totally fine.
Yeah.
It looks small, and it looks dark, and it looks like most places you would go. I remember going to that place for my tuxedo. What's that place called? Right in town there?
Right in town, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like dingy. It's just small. It's just very poorly lit inside.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's I don't know. You know, all these tuxedos are kind of dark. Do we really need lighting? I don't know why it's poorly lit like that, but this appears to be the same thing.
Okay.
So Patrick's off trying on suits.
Right.
And Stevie really... suddenly understands that she is out of her depth.
Mm-hmm. They're talking about like the bachelor party and everything, and Stevie planning that, and Alexis is really trying to like make her feel like it's almost too much, because she starts talking about all these elaborate things that David wants.
Right.
And she's like, well, when I planned Megan Fox's bachelorette party, it was on some island where literally nothing was illegal. And
right.
So she's really talking up like other events that she's planned.
Yeah.
So then Stevie really starts to like lose confidence.
I love how Stevie's like, well, I thought I'd just ask David what he wants. And David comes up with this elaborate bunch of nonsense. Mm-hmm. And Stevie's like, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And then we have, I hate to keep talking about this, but we have yet another Stevie breakdown. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just, the past two seasons have been Stevie breakdown after Stevie breakdown, and people coddling. Moira brings it up later, how she doesn't want to be coddled, but it's just people constantly coddling Stevie, and I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just at every turn, even with this, Alexis is like, Stevie just needed it more than me. And I'm like, this is so weird that suddenly Stevie just needs everyone to help her.
She's just trying to figure out like who she is at this point. But we kind of lost some of the, I mean, we still see those glimpses of, like, sarcastic,
sure,
funny, like, witty, you know, kind of Stevie, but not always, you know.
And I know early on in the series we didn't know Stevie the way we know Stevie now,
mm-hmm,
but she seems so much more confident.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And sort of okay with herself. Mm-hmm. And just to see this continuous thing where she is just... She has no idea what to do. She has no self-confidence whatsoever. It's, I don't know. It's really bothering me.
Yeah, I didn't remember it bothering me
the first time around.
Okay.
But anyway,
mm-hmm,
but Alexis, like the way this scene ends is Alexis basically saying, you got this, and hugs her and is like, I will be there to help you,
mm-hmm,
but this is your job. Mm-hmm. Just let me know, basically, if and when you need help.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, in between there, Patrick comes out in a suit.
Yes,
and everything,
right,
all dressed up, like, and they refer to it as this place as being a James Bond kind of shop in Elm Glen, where he's, you know, looks like James Bond.
Yeah.
And then they also, even just to kind of give Stevie a moment to make a decision about the tie, but they don't let her.
No.
Yeah, they hold up two ties, and she picks the wrong one, and they're, David and Alexis are basically, like, influencing her.
It is fun. I do like how Alexis doesn't let go of the tie when she tries to pull it out of her hand, and then she has to pull the correct tie.
And they looked almost identical. I don't know. They looked like they looked basically the same tie.
Yes, and that's the joke.
Yeah,
but also when she picks the one, not only is Alexis happy with the choice, but of course David is also like, that's the right one.
Right, yeah.
Patrick doesn't care.
Right. Right.
Patrick doesn't care at all, because even during this scene, I think that David says something like, oh, I don't, you know, I could marry you right now. Who am I kidding? I want some elaborate pageantry. And even Patrick's like, yeah, we know that.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm,
so now let's go to the motel where Roland and Johnny decide to confront a guy that they assume is a hardened criminal.
Right. The squatter. Yeah,
right.
They're going to confront him. He's in room 6. I just wrote that.
Oh, okay. Down. Great.
Yeah.
You're like, maybe this means something later.
Room 6.
And they are... They confront him, but it's almost like they remember he has a gun and are instantly super apologetic to
yeah,
this
Yeah, I
guy.
Like that Roland refers to Johnny as Professor Prude. Professor right. Prude here thought that thinks yes. that you're a squatter.
Yes.
He's like, now I didn't. I think, you know, there's another story or mm-hmm. whatever.
Let's talk about this guy. Yeah. And in my notes while I was writing, you know, while I was taking notes and this guy came up, I literally typed in motel guy. And then I went, well, I'll go on to IMDb and I'll get the real character name. He's credited as Motel Guy.
Oh, okay.
He's played by Tony Napo, who has over 180 credits on IMDb. A ton of stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. He's, you know, a little older, so yeah. he probably has had an opportunity maybe to...
He's been in a lot of stuff, way too many to mention, but Nikita, Flashpoint, Saving Hope, Kim's Convenience, Murdoch Mysteries, mm-hmm. and he's currently a regular in a series called Strays. I know we talked about that recently with somebody else, but he has also been in Zombies 1, 2, and 3.
Whoa!
So our kids might be able to recognize this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he lets them know that baked into the contract that Roland signed, mm-hmm. he is allowed to have this room.
Yeah, he's been a long-term tenant that yes. Benny and, I forget, what was her name again? Benny and Betty, I think?
I right? know it's Betty. I don't, is
and
it Benny?
He okay. was Benny, I right. believe. Yeah. So yeah, I remembered him. Yeah, so they, I guess, allow him to stay there as a long-term tenant.
Exactly. And the reason he's there and has a gun is he's a prosecuting attorney who, I guess, puts away really, really rough criminals.
I guess.
So he has to live in a motel. I guess this is this guy's life. Mm-hmm. Like, this is it. He has no home. And I've watched enough, I don't know, mobster movies. I've never seen anything like this mm-hmm. where an attorney has to live in a motel for fear. But maybe this is real. Maybe this is something maybe. That really happens.
Maybe.
Or it's just something goofy they wrote into
the show. If you're a prosecuting attorney mm-hmm. and you live in a motel, let us know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, please. If you're... It's a very specific listener.
Yeah.
If you've been listening, just waiting for us to get to this episode right. to hear what
you're
we
like, I just
have to say
in.
About your life.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's funny how, you know, it is revealed that this was in the contract and Johnny is like, well, Roland, didn't you read it? And he's like, Johnny, it's 25 pages.
Right, yeah.
Which, I don't know. I've signed plenty of things that have been... did we yeah. read all the paperwork for... any of the homes we bought? No.
Yeah.
I'm not reading all that stuff. You put your initials on
45,000
documents.
Maybe someday we'll buy a home and there'll be like a squatter that lives in it.
There's
like,
a lawyer.
Who are you?
Yeah, there's just a lawyer right. living in a closet.
In a basement, right? Yeah.
That's actually the reason why we had to leave our other studio. There's a lawyer just making buzzing sounds.
Right, in our closet. Surprise. Right. Mm-hmm. Now you know the truth.
So now we go to...
Oh, but I like how Roland really says, he's like, I knew that this was on the up and up and everything. Yeah. And then he's like, Johnny, don't you think you should say good job, Roland? and Johnny, like, appeases him. I like their interaction in this episode. I mean, I always kind of enjoy it. But I like how Johnny is really kind of, like, coming around to Roland more, I feel like. I don't know, maybe you don't get that feeling.
I think it's...
I know, but I thought it was kind of cute at the end. He was like, okay, good job, Roland.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just liked the way that ended, I feel like.
I agree, but also, I'll say it again, you need Stevie in this mix to make this work. With anytime there's the three of them, and Roland can kind of use Stevie to make fun of Johnny more, mm-hmm. like... when they're all dressed
they
for that banquet, yes,
yeah.
I really, really enjoy that. For as much as we don't like Patrick ganging up with Stevie on David, I kind of like when they do it to Johnny.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the motel that we're more familiar with, and let's go to the office.
Mm-hmm.
Because Moira, I guess, is working the front desk.
I don't,
everybody else is gone.
Yeah, I don't know. Watching the trailer
again. Watching it again and again. She's and obsessed. I understand. Listen, if I were in a movie trailer, I'd probably watch it just as much as Moira is.
Yeah, I guess.
And Jocelyn shows up to apologize. apologize? Question mark. It's yeah. almost as though Jocelyn, in grading the book reports, thought, I should write a book report about this trailer.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. she kind of
She writes this
did.
Very eloquently written, I guess.
Yes.
Trailer about, or like report yeah. almost, about the movie.
About the trailer.
Not Moira.
But not Moira at all. Most of it is about the narrator's voice, mm-hmm. which I think is yeah. really great. And they don't even credit the narrator
mm.
on IMDb. Like, I'm kind of surprised. Mm-hmm. I wanted to give this guy
mm-hmm.
some kind of shout out. But, I mean, it's a very, I don't want to say generic, but, you know, you've mm-hmm. heard it
yeah.
before. Yeah, it's really interesting because it is a very glowing review, I'm mm-hmm. going to say. Lots of big, flourishy words. She's a teacher. Mm-hmm. She probably has a thesaurus sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
And Moira instantly, her reaction is, oh, but that's not about me at all.
Right, yeah.
Maybe we should watch it again.
Yeah, yeah. And Jocelyn says, you know, well, I've just seen you get your hopes up before for things. And then it doesn't work out.
Exactly. Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe this is coming from, like, a place of genuine, like, care and concern for her? Like, I'm not really
care
sure.
Care and concern for who?
Like, Jocelyn, care and concern for Moira? I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
I can't quite tell how much. I think it's genuine.
I think it's genuine, too.
You know.
And I'm confused.
Like, she doesn't want to have to pick her up and talk her off the ledge again? I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know how much she does that, though.
She basically says, Jocelyn, much like you, basically says, I don't like a sad Moira.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't like that.
Right.
So I'm going to try and prevent that mm-hmm. from happening. Like, I've seen you get your hopes up. I don't want this to be a huge
right.
disaster. But here's
But what's she going to do to prevent this?
I don't know.
I don't know how you do that.
But also, I just
By
don't...
maybe not getting, like, overly excited for her or
yeah.
with her, not joining in on her excitement. I don't know. I don't know that that's really...
Well, I don't know.
Because
I don't know if it's something where Jocelyn's like, Moira really cares about what I think. Like,
mm-hmm.
Moira values my
yeah.
opinion, where I would think, you know, I spent enough time with Moira to know that Moira's just selfish and self-centered. I mean, I wouldn't
just
think
wants,
that she values...
Wants accolades from whoever
from
will give
everyone.
Them to her. Right.
But maybe Jocelyn really thinks, okay, we do have a friendship here, and maybe I don't want to ruin that. Like,
mm-hmm.
this is an opportunity. But again, that's not what she says. So
yeah.
I don't want to read stuff into this that the character's not even saying.
Right.
So now we're back. The... tuxedo thing is great. It's all gone according to plan.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we're wrapping this whole thing up. And David and Alexis kind of have a heart-to-heart about the whole Stevie thing.
Right, yeah, yeah. Because this is where Alexis kind of says, like, she really needs it more than I do.
Exactly.
And everything.
Yes. And barf. But...
And barf?
I don't...
Oh, you're unhappy that she's
I don't
coddling
like it. Yes.
Stevie. Okay.
And Alexis kind of doesn't have a job now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this is something David was thinking beforehand or if this just came up
as
in
they
the
were
course
there,
of the events
right, in the moment.
Of the day. David's like, I have a job for you. And I like how Alexis is like, oh, not a flower girl. I don't think I'm
yeah.
a little old to be a flower girl.
Uh-huh.
But he gives her the job of giving him away.
Away, right.
Which
yeah.
is very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And she accepts this. And then instantly says, maybe I could also be the flower
right.
girl, though,
yeah.
too.
Well, she accepts it by saying, I do, which
right.
I thought was cute. But yeah, she's like, maybe I could be a flower girl and wear like a dress out of flowers
right.
and then loop back around.
Quick costume change and then
right.
walk you
yeah.
down.
And he's basically then, I take it back. I'm just going to ask Jocelyn
right.
instead.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. Like, I was sort of wondering why. I mean, I guess it gives her a job and this is a really nice tribute to how their brother-sister relationship has changed. Like,
of
I don't
course.
Think that ever would have been... I mean, you know, we gather that no one in this family was really close prior
yes.
to their time in Schitt's Creek. But I thought, well, I guess, you know, obviously we know what Moira ends up doing and what her role is. But, yeah, like, I kind of would
Does
have expected
Johnny
to
Does Johnny have
see...
a role? I don't want to talk about the wedding because it's...
Well, right.
It's a ways down the
yeah.
line. But now I'm thinking... Does he have anything to do?
Doesn't he do something with Stevie?
I don't know.
And I'm trying to remember now.
I don't know. And why would he do something with Stevie?
I almost kind of feel like it would have been nice to have his mom and dad walk it. Like, we know that they're so supportive.
Of course.
Of everything that, you know, that would have been nice too. Like,
yes.
But it certainly is a little more traditional. What would Alexis have done then? It wouldn't have given her.
That's the thing.
She could have been like a bridesmaid. She could have still worn the dress and stood up there and even stood on, you know, his side along with Stevie, and they both could have supported him. Right. And yeah, but no, regardless, it's lovely, and it shows the growth in their relationship, of course. So I'm not,
right,
you know, complaining about that, but I also think it would have been so nice to have him walk down and like Moira's on one side and Johnny's on the other, and
yes,
you know,
100%.
And then maybe
Alexis is the one then who performs the ceremony. Why not?
Oh, that would have been fun.
Yeah, and
but I don't know. She would have to be ordained and everything,
right? And I hate to talk about this. Like, I don't want to reconfigure a wedding that we haven't even gotten to,
right?
But it really just seems like a lot of work and effort to give Stevie this job, and this really does bother me.
Yeah,
because I don't know if Patrick has a lot of friends, and he and Stevie have become fast friends. Mm-hmm. So maybe Stevie could be his maid of honor. I don't know. Like, this bothers me, and I hate.
Yeah, but she and David have a deeper relationship than he
I know.
Is. Like, that wouldn't be natural to put her with Patrick, I don't think.
I know,
like,
but also I think if you sat Stevie down and you explained that, like, my sister's here now, I thought she was going to be gone. Everybody seems to think that this would drive Stevie into some sort of insane spiral out of control. Mm-hmm. And I just think that she would be able to handle this. Mm-hmm. I feel so bad being mean to multiple characters and writers and directors for this particular episode.
Well, I mean,
just about basically,
you know,
one
things
part
we're
of
allowed
it
to disagree with. Clearly we know there's things
I know, and I just have strong feelings about. Yes. I just feel like
you feel like you're being
we
made.
Love this show.
Right.
This we are doing a podcast about this show because we like it so much, and I feel like episode after episode we're like, well, also this doesn't make any sense. But
And people have said that to us. Like,
sure,
we need to not be critical, and we need to, like, enjoy it for what it is. And we do.
Yes.
It's a discussion, too. It's a forum to talk about things, and we're sharing our opinions. And, you know, not everybody's going to agree with everyone's opinion and everything. But, you know, like,
thank you for validating me. It's like you're Alexis and I'm Stevie. I appreciate it.
But, you know, we have to put our own thoughts and feelings in. Otherwise,
right.
What are we podcasting?
Right.
We're literally rehashing
just
an episode
and
saying, well, that's what happened.
Say, yes.
We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, it's a forum to discuss. And, yeah, not everybody's going to agree with everything that, you know, that we're thinking. And
good.
And that's okay.
Point.
You know.
It's okay if you disagree with us. Yes.
Well, of course.
No, I know.
You know.
I love how it ends, where she tries to boop him and he refuses.
He's like, enough.
Yes. That's it. And that's literally like how the episode ends.
Yeah, no. So it is, it's very cute.
Right.
At the end.
Wow, this is so great.
So, and at the end of all of our episodes, we rank our Schitt's Creek episodes from the best of the best episode ever to the least best of the best episodes ever.
I'm thinking this one's not a winner in your book.
Well, my question to you, Carla, is if this episode were a wedding participant, I guess, would it be a maid of honor or a flower girl?
Oh.
I guess one of those.
I don't
bad.
Know. I mean, it didn't bother me as much as
sure.
it bothered you. But I know that you do, you know, feel that you want to see almost as much as, like, I don't like a sad Moira. I feel like you don't like an unhinged Stevie, like, for sure.
Oh,
you know,
you're right. Yes.
So
maybe
I feel like
that. Maybe it's as simple as that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it bothers you when she is not in her element that we appreciate seeing her.
I didn't type in your last episode, but I left a space for it, so you know where the last one is, just so we can get our numbers right.
Yeah. Like, this episode was fine. I think there were, you know, definitely cute parts. The motel part was okay, just okay for me. Or the like the new motel, like right. the squatter
the,
and everything.
The Johnny Roland yeah. storyline.
But like I said, I kind of liked the way Johnny and Roland connected in mm-hmm. that. I enjoyed like watching their, you know, banter and everything. And yeah, like I liked the Tuck store. And yeah, overall, like it was an okay episode. It wasn't like one of my faves,
sure.
but I thought it was all right. I'm gonna put it as my new number. I feel like most of these episodes are going kind of in the same area.
Yeah.
for me.
Like middle ish.
Yeah, just
lower,
sort of like middle,
middle
of the road. Yeah. I'm gonna say, I'm trying to like look and say, is it better than
no,
that?
No, that's
I'm
know.
Gonna say it's my new number 32, maybe. Maybe.
I'm gonna take that maybe as a very confident yeah. sure.
And I don't.
Go ahead.
I don't know. We're only four episodes in, so I don't know that I should say this, but I do kind of remember it as we watched it. There are certainly a lot of obviously great high points in season six, but I don't remember feeling like super overly satisfied with season six. Like, there are absolutely things that were great, as there were with every single season. But right. I just remember thinking, like, that was an okay episode. You know, like,
right.
or that one was pretty good. But not necessarily feeling, like, that connection that I felt with some of those episodes that are in, you know, the top bunch. But I know not every episode can be that, too. And
yeah.
if you get a handful of those per season, maybe not even a handful, maybe, like, three... four
sure.
per season or even two to three per season, then that's, you know, that's pretty good.
I think I totally agree. And I know we're only four episodes into
season six. Right, so I feel bad saying even like
but it's one of those, I feel the same way because I was like, something needs to happen. We need to break out.
You feel like we're spinning
somehow.
Our wheels a little bit.
Yeah,
right
I know I've said that in the past few mm-hmm. episodes, but I feel like at this point mm-hmm. in every other season, we've at least had one episode that really broke out of that middle of the pack.
I don't know, though. And look at the top of the list. Is there really things that are like an episode three or four that's
yes.
in our top 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's
okay.
one through five has been in our top 10. My highest ranked season six right now is number 30.
Oh, no, that's not what
oh,
I
go.
Mean.
I'm sorry.
I don't mean season. I mean episode within a season. How many third or fourth
oh.
seasonal episodes are in our top 10? Because I bet there's not a lot.
Gotcha.
It's either going to be a 1.
Or a 13.
Or like a 13.
14.
So in past seasons, we have not looked at a season 3 or 4 episode, or like a third or fourth episode within a season.
You're right.
And rated it in our top 10. So
you,
I don't...
You know what?
That's
You're
what
right.
I meant by that. Not
right.
seasonally what's in our top 10, but like episode
yeah.
within a season.
Nope, you're 100% right.
Yeah, so I feel like this isn't out of the ordinary that, you know, those episodes are
plus,
great, they move the plot along, and maybe they're not the ones that are, like, speaking to us as much as those starters
yes.
and those finishers.
And,
like, they start and finish strong.
Yeah. And plus, and, it was easier for a season three to sneak into our top 10 at the time because there weren't as many episodes.
Of course,
so,
right.
No, this makes
right.
total sense.
Yeah.
I watched this episode hoping that it would break out of that middle of the pack.
Mm-hmm.
Mine did, and
oh.
it went
oh,
really
down.
Low.
Okay, so you did not like
this
episode.
This is 62
oh. What?
For me. I don't like this at all.
Wow.
I don't like the trailer part. I don't like this new motel. I don't like this new Stevie. I'm very scared.
This is maybe our biggest break since Merry Christmas,
yeah,
Johnny
since
Rose,
Merry
I think.
Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think
it didn't hit me the way it hit you.
This
you know?
Is making me very nervous. This is making me very scared for all the episodes to come.
Oh,
and
wow.
Because I just don't, like I said, there's a few that I haven't seen, of course, but even ones that I have seen, I don't remember them the way I do some of those earlier seasons.
There's definitely, I mean, obviously the last episode,
right.
the finale episode,
oh, no, no.
you know, of course is huge. But
exactly. Yeah,
there's another
last
one that I can think of that I remember and I'm not going to go into detail about which one, but you probably know which one. I remember watching it and it had an impact.
Yes. I'm going to say, and I'm just discounting like the last probably three episodes of this season. There are things I remember happening, but nothing that is, that I remember, I don't want to say fondly because I do remember some of this stuff fondly, but not elevated to that, to those. Yeah. You know, some of those things. Yeah, I really I didn't like this.
That's okay. You're allowed to not like it.
Again, thank you, Alexis, for giving this to me. And I appreciate it.
And if other people want to jump on you.
Oh, please. Listen, you've gotten
the hatred for I take your most Patrick of stuff.
Yeah.
And I didn't say anything about him in this episode.
Well, for the most part, he's struggling to put a jacket on.
But, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, that is it. That is how we're going to wrap it up. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I don't know. And maybe I'll wait to bring it up the next time we have a little bit of a more Patrick-centric episode.
Sure.
Because I really do know where my reasoning for a lot of my feelings towards Patrick really
has not even happened yet.
No, but it's really not. I don't want to say it's not stemmed with Patrick, but I know why I...
Oh, boy.
And I think I've made mention to, to it other times. But I know why I feel that way.
You know what? We'll get there.
We'll get there.
There's plenty of things for our listeners to be angry at us about.
Totally.
Coming up.
Yep.
But maybe this is my time to feel the heat. So people, please let me know if I'm totally wrong.
No, because everybody, they'll be like, I totally agree with you. And then I'll be like, yeah.
No, those will just be the comments I keep so you see those. And I'll delete the other ones.
Delete all the other ones. Yes. Okay.
I'll be like, Carla, everyone agrees with me.
Yeah. I'll be like, sounds about right.
So next time, 2 weeks from right now, children's room, we will be watching and talking about the fifth episode of season 6, the premiere.
Yeah. Let us know how this recording sounded.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to listen to it.
We didn't have a motorcycle, so I think we're good with outside noise.
At one point, there was a plane, and someone keeps yawning. But other than that, I think it was great.
You might be able to hear, if you listen really hard, our kids are outside, I think in our other child's room.
Yeah.
And I can hear them.
Sounds to me like they're right outside the door.
Yeah, they're waiting for us to come out because, I'm sure they need the room.
Anyway, I think we've talked plenty before we started recording and after we, not before we started recording, before we started the episode and after finishing the episode.
Yep.
We will see everybody again in 2 weeks.
We won't see you, but you'll hear us.
We'll see you. We're watching right now.
Oh, that's totally creepy.
Bye, everybody. Have a great 2 weeks.
Warmest regards.